All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We want to welcome you to our Friday night discipleship class here as we continue here where we left off from our previous Friday ago. And so as we get ourselves ready, I hope you guys have your study material. And if not, again, look up to the screen. This is where we're going to be able to find the material for our Friday night discipleship class. So friendly reminder for those of you that are tuning in on the Podbean app, you can click on that hyperlink. It'll redirect you to where you can locate the material that we are discussing here this evening for our Friday night discipleship class. And if you're tuning in with us online, you should be able to see the material. If not, let me go ahead and try to upload it now as we speak. I'm going to go ahead and try to upload it now. Let's go ahead and do this. Nope. And here we go. There we go. Okay. All right. So you should be able to see it for those of you that are tuning in with us online. I went ahead and added it to our screen. And there we have it. There it is. So that way you can follow along with us. All right, guys. Friendly reminder, we just want to give you guys some quick updates so that way you guys can know what we got going on, or that is in hopes of anticipating for the weekend. Amen. And so let's just go over some quick announcements and we're going to go again started. With that said, good news, guys. Check it out. Prayer cards. Yeah, they just got in. Amen. So on the coffee table in front of Sister Katie, there's two boxes. There are the prayer cards right in there, amen. We have the English and we have the Spanish. I want to encourage all of our church members here tonight to please take some with you and put them in your purse, put them in your wallet, and prepare yourself to just continue to be a faithful witness and a faithful minister. And so that way you guys can be prepared and ready for whatever it is that they have, for whatever it is and wherever it is that you go, amen, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I just have some quick praise reports to share with you guys before we get started this evening. Last Wednesday, Brother Giovanni prayed for opportunities. Did he not? Who was here? Amen. Who remembers? He said, Lord, give us opportunities. My wife and I went to Mosin gas station, and there was these fellows who needed a jump start on their truck. And, of course, they saw the sign on the back of my car, Jesus Saves, and they anticipated us to be friendly, which, of course, we are. So we went behind there. We got on their side, got in front, had an opportunity to minister and witness to a fellow by the name of Gustavo, and I think the other fellow's name was David. And then, guys, while I was ministering to the gospel, there was another bystander who was just listening in on the conversation. I think his name is Jeremy or Josh, and it was so cool. Guys, he was just soaking in how I was sharing the gospel with these two fellows, and he was super encouraged that we were talking about Jesus. So I give them all a gospel track. Let them know who we are. Let them know we're here. Anytime they ever just want to get plugged into a church family, that we are available. So I want to thank God for the prayer answer to Brother Giovanni. And then ever since I got the prayer cards yesterday, that is Thursday, before I left work, I immediately started to hand them out, guys. And I have some good news. They have been receptive. Every person that I've offered a prayer card to at the cash register before I leave the store, they take it with a smile. It was awesome. And right before tonight's Bible study, I went to In-N-Out. The cashier's name is Jeshua. How ironic, right? Yeshua, almost that Hebrew name of Jesus. And I said, hey, man, before I go, I just want to give you this prayer card. Our church loves praying for people. Want to let you know Jesus loves you. Guys, you should have seen his face. He literally went like, oh, what? That's so cool. He's like, I need prayer. I need prayer. Guys, I'm sitting there waiting for my burger. He's like this, looking at it while everything's going crazy. You know, In-N-Out, how it is. They're all fast. He was looking at it, looking back at me. He was smiling. Praise God. Amen. So let's pray for Jeshua and whatever else the Lord can do. So as you guys know, my heart's intent is to provide for you guys materials, gospel tracts, to encourage you, and then also to train you by an example on how to do it. So there you have it. Anywhere you go, cash register, at the bank, gas station, anywhere. You just interact with somebody, and there's a quick time. All you got to do is when you're giving them your debit card for the payment or some cash, slip in that prayer card and just be like, oh, I just want to let you know our church loves praying for people. I want to give you this prayer card. Scan it. Let us know. We're here for you. And then, of course, on our church website, it does share the gospel with people. Amen. So you're planting the seed. So there are 500 prayer cards for now. We're going to order more once we see these run out. So right over there, I want to encourage you guys, put some in your purse or wallet. Take a stack and then just keep them on hand. Amen. Anywhere you go, just a little quick prayer card. We got Spanish and English because on the internet, there is Spanish translation. So that way folks can see and obviously read, et cetera, et cetera. And then also on the back, prayer for salvation. You never know, guys, them just in their sincere heart, probably responding to God, they might get saved just reading the back of that. How about that? Amen. So I'm excited. I'm having a good day today. Amen. It's always good to be saved and it's good to be alive. So I'm glad to see you all. Okay, so quick announcements before we get started here. Just want to remind you on the screen here, our calendar tab, amen, our calendar. Y'all already know what Brother Carl is going to say. Y'all already know. Tomorrow is Saturday soul winning. Tomorrow is Saturday soul winning. We're going to meet here, church, at a 9:45, 10 o'clock. If you guys want to come for some breakfast, we'll have some bagels. If not, guys, we're going to be heading out here by 10 o'clock. Again, I'm going to remind you of our memory verses that we've been discussing to provoke you guys unto love and good works. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go there first. Hebrews 10. You guys should know that by now. Amen. Y'all should know it by now. Bible says here in verse number 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love. And then what's the next one there? Anybody out there? Good works, amen. So whenever we come together to church, whenever we are fellowshipping, whenever we're hanging out, our motivation should be, how can I encourage you, brother or sister, to love Jesus? And how can I encourage you, brother or sister, to work for Jesus in your local church? And so tomorrow, you're going to have an opportunity to work with us, amen. Bible says in 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. So the Holy Spirit tells us every day that goes on is another day closer to Jesus taking us home to glory, the rapture. So every day that goes on, you know what the Holy Spirit says? You guys should be encouraging each other that much more for love and for good works. Come to church on time, be faithful. And then as we come to church, get trained up, get fed, let's go out there together and work for Jesus. All right, next verse, let's go to let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, last verse of this chapter. Again, just reminding you in love, provoking y'all, amen, in love about working for Jesus. Tomorrow you can do that with us. The Bible says in verse number 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So guys, I know we all have to work. I know we have to work for a living to provide for our wife, pay our taxes, pay our rent money. That's totally required of you from as a Christian. You guys already know that. But how many of you guys know that you're not going to take that money with you when you die? You're not going to take your taxes with you when you die. Uncle Sam's not going to take it with them when they die. But you know what you will take with you when you die? Your work in the Lord. That's not in vain. So the more that you can put in some time for Jesus, guys, that's what's going to benefit you for eternity. Tomorrow, you can have an opportunity for that. And then one more. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And read with me starting in verse number 9. These are just quick verses to encourage you guys in love. Colossians 1, starting in verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Notice there, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So what is the desire of the Spirit of God moving Paul to pray for these Colossians, even though he never met them? He's praying for these Christians that they would continue to walk worthy for Jesus, to please him in all things, and that they would be fruitful in every good work. And so again, tomorrow you have an opportunity to join us. We're going to go from 10 to 12 door to door, take a break, go downtown, and then just end the day. Amen. Just putting in some hours for the Lord. And that's the will of God for your life as a Christian. Keep serving, keep working. Come to church, get fed with the Bible, get some knowledge, get some prayer, get some fellowship, and then let's go exercise our faith out there, man. Let's go reach out to people, all right? And tomorrow is postponed for Brother Angel's fellowship in Imperial Beach. As of now, he personally asked for the 25th now. For the 25th, so that's about 4 weeks away from tomorrow. That's 3 weeks away. So I just want to encourage you, if you guys have a day off on the 25th, or if you guys can perhaps maybe request that day off, I just want to encourage you. That's another opportunity. We will officially be going down to Imperial Beach to help Brother Angel door to door. And so we're going to have a good time fellowship down there. Amen. So I just want to let you guys know that. And then please keep me in prayer for the 9th. I already shared with you from Wednesday. For those of you here, pray for me as I have an opportunity to go minister at that Baptist college for the first time. So I'm very excited. Looking forward to that. Amen. So tomorrow, soul win, and then Sunday here at church. Hopefully, we'll see some folks come back. All right. Okay, guys, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and continue where we left off in our Friday night discipleship class. For those of you who don't know, I'm just going to show you here on the screen. So just go ahead and I'll look up there. Amen. Anytime you can visit your church website, www.sfbcoca.org. Click on that. And then here's what it looks like. All right. And then what you're going to do, friend, is you're going to click on this study blogs tab. Okay. You click there. You scroll all the way down here on your smartphone or on your computer. Load more entries. See here? Load more entries. And then here's where you will find the source material. It's called the Book of the Living. Okay, so I just want to remind you, that's how you can find it. Sister Katie, do you mind closing that door, please? A little chilly. All right, so now we're here. Let's go ahead and continue where we left off. This tonight is part 5 of our study of the Book of Life, our Book of the Living. And then tonight we're going to focus in a little bit more on the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. I'm pretty excited to start touching more on that subject together as a church family. So let's go ahead and get there tonight. We are on our study blog material. If you have a Bible, you can turn there to Revelation chapter 3, and you can begin to prepare yourself for we'll be there. And then I'm going to have the material on the screen. Like I said, you can pull it up on your smartphone if you want to look at it more closer for the notes for this evening. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the saints coming on a Friday night, Lord. I sure know where I was many, many years ago, God, on a Friday night, just out there in the darkness, God, not profiting in anything I was doing in my flesh, sin. What a shame it is now that I know that what those things were doing to my soul, God. Tonight, I'm glad to be in church. I'm glad to be with people who love Jesus Christ, who desire to study the Bible, to be enlightened in their heart and their mind on how they can serve Jesus better, how they can work for him in opportunities of evangelism or ministration, however that might be for them. And tonight, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us with desire for Jesus, with desire to read our Bibles, desire to pray for one another, and desire to be students of the Word of God. So, Lord, we pray that you would fellowship in our midst this evening. Prepare our hearts, God, so we can be ready for tomorrow, if you will it, for us to soul win, be able to take knowledge that we gain, and put it in practice by reaching out to people who are lost out there, God, so we can help them to get saved. So, Father, I thank you for tonight. Help us to enjoy the rest of this evening, free from distraction from our cell phone, things from our family home, our family life. Help us just to give you, God, these next 45 minutes to just study, God. Study your word. Have a good time, and we thank you for it. Help us to get home safely thereafter. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, Revelation chapter number 3. Let's go back there, as we will consider the material that we have been discussing here. Revelation chapter number 3. We're going to go ahead and read together, starting in verse number 1 through 5. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God, and the 7 stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So, friend, the reminder, what are we focusing on this evening? We are focusing on the Book of Life. We will get to the Lamb's Book of Life in a few minutes, Lord willing. But allow me now to share with you, let's go back to chapter 1 just to remind ourselves of some context. Who is speaking and who is being spoken unto? That is, who is the audience, the recipients of this letter? Look at Revelation chapter 1. The Bible says, starting here in verse number 1, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." So here you have God the Father. giving the revelation to who? God the Son. God the Son then sends an angel to give it to who? John the Apostle, so he could write to who? His servants. All right, verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. So John the Apostle saw Jesus, and everything that he is writing down, that is the record he is accounting for, he saw it. He is an eyewitness of what he is seeing. All right, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So a quick side nugget, friend. Here's the good news. It's good to read your Bible, and it's good to hear the Bible being read to you. Anybody out there? That's good. But y'all don't want to just read. Y'all don't want to just listen. You need to keep those things. Amen. Be obedient. All right, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now listen, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, who is Jesus writing to, according to verse 4, anybody? The seven churches, amen? You got seven churches. Where are they, geographically speaking, in their geolocation? Asia, verse 4. And, according to Jesus, he is writing these letters to those churches specifically. And then what does the Holy Spirit remind these recipients of in verse 5 and 6? He loved you. He washed you from your sins in his own blood. He made you a king and a priest unto God and his Father. To him be glory. So now, Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3 are being written unto the churches. They are the servants of Jesus. And according to the Bible, they are loved of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus washed away what? Their sins. Okay, so see, we're just letting the Bible interpret itself. That all I'm doing is regurgitating back to you what you're physically reading before your eyes. Because here's why that's important. When you go to chapter 3, you are going to see from different various denominations in your available before you today, either in their book materials or their manual church manuals or their traditional denominational methods of interpretation, that when Jesus says in Revelation 3 about blotting out their name, that he will not blot out their name, somehow, some way, they want to insert in there the idea that these Christians' names could be blotted if they're not faithful. It's very careful. Even though it doesn't say that, they will read that into the text of Scripture. So that's why you have to be very careful when you're talking to a Christian and you're reading the Bible. You want to read it verse by verse, take it easy, and you want to let the Scriptures speak for themselves. That's what we call hermeneutics. We are interpreting Scripture. And number two, we are applying what is called exegesis, which just means this, real fancy, we're letting the Scriptures speak for themselves. Eisegesis is the opposite. We are reading into the text. We're kind of putting in what we think it means in there, and then that's how we're trying to explain it to people. So just be careful when you're sharing with people. Just read the verse and then tell them, that's what he's saying. Okay, keep it real simple, amen. Just say, that's what it says. That's what it means. You don't have to say, well, what does it mean to you? How does this make you feel, right? And then you begin to insert. No. So now, let's go back to our material that we're discussing here online. And again, you guys can pull that up on your smartphone or whatever. When he is writing there, remember, he is writing to the individual. Notice the words there. I have not found thy works. That is the individual. Remember, we talked about that last Friday in the dictionary that I got you guys on the back. Brother David Daniels made it real easy. He gave you guys a quick explanation on how to read your King James Bible. The difference between thy, thine, thee, and thou is a reference of the individual or the singular from the Greek to English. And then the you, ye, or your, that is a plural from the Greek to English. There you have it, okay? So allow us, let's remind you of the context, which I already did, Revelation 1. We know who's being written unto. We know who the author is. We know the lesson. We know what he is writing. We know the inspiration behind that. According to Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1, the recipients were made kings and priests unto God and his Father. According to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29 and 30, The Bible says that no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So once you become a born-again Christian, you are immediately adopted into the family of God as the Lord Jesus Christ, as the head of the church. He is the representative before the Father in your stead. And the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. You become a member of Christ's body. You become flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. You become inseparable. That's good. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Remember, the Holy Spirit is writing unto these Christians. He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, that is present tense, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So what is the church made up of then, according to the scriptures? The church is made up of born-again sinners, whether Jew or Gentile, who have been sanctified in Christ when they called upon him in faith. Then they were placed into his spiritual kingdom of God in heaven, eternally secure and sealed. So far, I want you to see that sinners are saved when they call upon Jesus Christ to save them. That can happen anywhere on the earth right now. It is not limited to your church conduct, your church tradition, your church, you know, denomination. There's no bounds to the gospel. Wherever any sinner on this planet responds to God and say, Jesus, I pray that you would save my soul right now. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again the third day. They will immediately be saved, sanctified by faith, and the Holy Spirit will be sent down from heaven to save their soul, regenerate them, and then he'll place them into the body of Christ, into his kingdom. They are a part then of what Revelation 1 said, kings and priests, washed by the blood, washed away all their, because what did it say? Who loved us. So that's good. Once you respond to the love of Jesus, here's the benefit he gives you. How about that? Okay, look up to our notes here. When you go now back to Revelation 1, what does it say of those seven churches? He loved us. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. Therefore, moving forward, each church identified contain members in them that are genuinely saved and born again, from which position in Christ cannot be changed or removed either by man, and listen, or even God himself, because he cannot lie of the promise of the hope of eternal life. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Look at what the Bible says there. Matter of fact, let's just pull it up together. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Can I get somebody to read there for me? Amen. That's a good verse, amen. That's a real good verse. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. Can I get a popcorn reader? I'm gonna popcorn Eileen. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And Katie, you can give her hand too, amen. Right before Hebrews there, Sister Eileen. Not Shebrews, amen. Hebrews, amen. That's why she don't make the coffee. Anybody out there? No? Okay. Titus 1, verse number 2. Take your time, sister. We're having a good time. Take your time. You never heard that one? The Hebrews copy, Joe? Okay. All right, girl. Go ahead. Verse 2. There you have it. So according to the Bible, God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. So if a sinner in Corinth got saved, a sinner in Ephesus got saved, if a sinner in Laodicea got saved, a sinner in Oceanside got saved, they are saved by the basis of what? The promise of God. And what is that promise? Whosoever believes in the Son of God has eternal life. So that's what I'm telling you, scripture to scripture, Revelation 1, unto him that loved us and washed our sins away in the blood, he made us kings and priests. That is a promise. God cannot lie. Once that sinner is in Jesus Christ, they can never be blotted out. They can never be removed. All their sins have been washed away. So that's why I'm telling you, when we let the Bible interpret itself, we are literally correcting perhaps hundreds of years of various church denominational interpretations who were ignorant, and now we're bringing you back hope from the Bible. Not that we have new revelation. We're just saying, guys, we're just reading it as it is. That's why you can't lose your salvation. And that's why Jesus Christ said, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. In other words, there was no indication that he would, because then he would go back on his word. And obviously, we know that's not the case. Okay, let's go back to our notes. Go back to the notes here. All who convert and become born again throughout the church age will become a fellow priest. And their future service to their great Savior, their great head, their great king. All who convert and become born again throughout the church age will become a king with Christ to co-rule and co-reign with him at his second advent, that is, when he returns to this earth. Sister Aileen, go ahead and popcorn somebody else. Who do you want to popcorn? Giovanni, go ahead and open up your Bible to Revelation 20, verse 6. May you please read that for us? Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6. Amen. Take your time, brother. We're having a good night. Oh, 20, verse 6. Yep. How about that? That's awesome. So, since these recipients are already present tense fellow heirs, born again, these churches have eternal life. Remember, it was a gift. So, back to Revelation 3. If you have your Bible there, Revelation chapter 3. Notice what he says. Revelation chapter 3, starting back in verse number 1 and 2. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that's the individual, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou, notice that's the individual, hast received and heard. And hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Let's come back to the notes. I want you to see there in Revelation 3, 1 through 2, I know thy singular individual works. He keeps saying the individual. Jesus is reproving some of the members of this truth for their hypocritical profession of dedicated Christian service. Let me repeat that. Jesus Christ is rebuking some of the members of this truth for their hypocritical profession of dedicated Christian service. Before other men, they appear right. They come to church, they dress the part, they walk the part. But Jesus, who knows the hearts of all men, he sees the true you ain't right. You have a name that you're alive, but truly I see that you're dead. You think everyone else around you thinks you're spiritual, but I see the truth. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you to strengthen what you got left. I haven't taken you out yet. I haven't brought you to glory yet. I'm giving you a chance. I haven't found your works perfect before God. So what am I doing? I'm giving you a window of time for you to repent and to get that right with me. So that way your latter end would be better than the way you started. Before other men, they appear right, but before God, they are wrong. In verse 2, he stated that those believers still possess enough time permitted by him or something within their personal characteristics of life that he still sees can change before their physical death. Because he said their works are not perfect, which therefore could be improved upon. Remember, I told you that last Friday that it appears that Jesus Christ gave these saints enough time to live a little bit longer on the earth so they can get some things right before the judgment to come. And so, again, what do I tell you, church? If you wake up tomorrow, it's because Jesus is not done with you yet. He still wants you to work for him. And he still wants you to fill up your basket of good works as much as you can, because you know what the intent and heart of God is? He wants to reward you for your labor. He doesn't want to burn your works away. That's your choice. When you are walking out in the flesh, in rebellion, in sin, in carnality, he wants to bless his Christian people. He wants to reward them. But again, he cannot override their free will. So that's why he can only compel you through his word. Hey, daughter, hey, son, put me back first before the family. Put me back first before the job. Put me back first. I want you to get this more worked on in your life. I'm giving you a little bit of time. Amen. In verse 3, this is the answer to their problem, of which clearly they were historically aware of. From the first time they heard the gospel and believed, if they did not repent according to the Lord's direct command, he promised a special visitation to this church as a thief. What does that denote? It's like a secret visitation, because, you know, when thieves break in, they break in when no one else is watching, all right? So remember, the Bible is real simple. He's given you an illustration that you can understand. I will come to your church like a thief when you don't, when you least expect it, right? Jesus is rebuking. Okay, I'm just trying to find myself in the notes here. Sorry. Okay. A surprise, a sudden surprise. Perhaps, listen now, perhaps removal of their church. Like a thief removes items from someone during a robbery. In verse number 4, he identifies a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, which indicates that of the whole church, only a few were not walking out their faith carnally, but rather they were obedient spiritual Christians. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:15, he that is spiritual judgeth what? All things. All things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul told him, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And perhaps as pertaining to the garments defiled, James chapter 5 could add further light as to how one's clothing can be spiritually be identified as that state of the believer before God. Remember how we left off from last Friday about what can defile a man. Matthew 15:18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the what? Heart. And they defile the man. Mark 7:15, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. So remember what I told you guys last Friday. It doesn't matter what you eat. It doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter all the things that come from the outside into your flesh. Jesus said, what defiles you is what comes out of your heart. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the what? The heart speaks. And so if you have thoughts, and whatever those thoughts might be, that's what Jesus is looking at, my friend. He's looking at the real you. He's looking at the heart. So see, that's why we can only look at you on the outside. We can judge you on the outside by what you physically conduct yourself and the way you live and your manner of living. That's our right to do as Christians, is to judge one another according to righteous judgment. So if I see a brother and sister slipping up, or, you know, not being as faithful as I know they can be, I can say, hey, man, what's going on? Hey, sister, come on. But truly, Jesus is the only one who can see what's going on the inside. Mark 7:20, he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Brother Giovanni, who would you like to popcorn? Hebrews 12:15. Eileen, Hebrews 12:15. Go on. Hebrews 12:15. Diligently? So notice that, Sister Eileen, the Holy Spirit warns us as Christians, bitterness can trouble you, bitterness can defile you. Ooh. So before you watch that movie again, with the gods and the profanity and all that, the worldliness, right? You know what can get you first is bitterness against another Christian in your heart, another person in your heart who's not a Christian. According to your Savior, who the one who truly knows the real you, he can see how that thing is troubling you. He can see how that thing is beginning to become rooted in you. He can see how that thing is defiling you. So see, guys, when you begin to just let the Bible read back to you, it really, really brings you back down to the root of, man, God, I need you. I need you every day. I need you to sanctify me, God. I need you to renew my mind, my heart, God. I can see the battle between the old man and the new man, God, which you strengthen me, because I don't want to do that. I want to be found faithful before you. You see, there were a few strong spiritual believers maintaining proper order of Christian conduct and obedience to their Savior in that church, even while they were assembling themselves with fellow carnal church members. In verse 5 of Revelation 3, Jesus said to the overcomer, Christ promised them a special recognition before God and his angels, perhaps at the judgment seat of Christ or at some future time frame when those believers would see him face to face. Christ promised not to blot out his name out of the book of life. Jesus did not say that the believers' names are preserved conditionally in the book of life. He simply stated that he will not blot out their names out of the book of life. This seems to indicate to me that he will not blot out their names out of the book of life since their sins were already blotted out on his cross. Remember what I showed you from Colossians 2 weeks ago? The Lord does not state, in other words, anything near the idea that one could lose their salvation as this being synonymous with their name in the book of life. The book of life is in his possession, and their names are written in it when they first responded by faith to the gospel. The true individual believer in this church will not have to concern themselves with losing their salvation, which is a clear admonition to others within their congregation who perhaps were not genuinely born again. Because obviously, any human can come and hang out with you on a Friday night. Any human can come and hang out with you on a Sunday. In other words, people can just hang out with Christians in those churches who perhaps were genuinely not saved. So no doubt that the call for them to really examine if they're saved or not is justified. Eileen, who would you like to popcorn next? Gio, 2 Corinthians 13:5, brother. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Can you read that, please? So guys, that's why it's okay. It's okay if somebody says, brother, are you sure you're saved? I mean, gosh, your life hasn't changed in like 5 years. You know, you are still living like crazy. You know, everything that is contrary to Jesus, but you keep saying you believe in God. You haven't been to church. You keep saying you believe. Are you sure? The Holy Spirit told those people at Corinth, examine yourself. Prove your own self if you're saved or not. It's okay when a Christian judges and examines another one who professes by the conduct of their life, by the works of life, if they're not really matching up with Jesus. Because, guys, what does a genuinely saved sinner's life produce according to Colossians 1? Remember we read it? What does it produce? Fruit. Remember what it said? Since the day ye heard it. So with the Bible alone, we know we're not saved by our works. But guys, you know your works truly do testify if you're saved. So there you have it. Philippians 4:3. The Bible says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. For sure, those names are in the book of life. Do you see there? In Philippians 4:3. We'll get to the other book in a minute. But I just want you to see now. Here we have the book of life being synonymous with the book of the living. And then after the fact that they hear the gospel, their names are added to the second book, which we're going to talk about tonight, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. So now, let's talk about my conclusions on this matter of Revelation 17, verse number 8, concerning the names that are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, whereas the next book. Turn your Bible now to Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter number 13. Let's go there. And then we're going to go to Revelation 21, 7. Revelation 13, 8, Revelation 21, 27. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and then Revelation 21, 27. The Bible says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You need to pay attention to that in your King James Bible, because there is a significant spiritual doctrine that is connected and paralleled from the Old Testament to the New concerning the foundation of the world. In other words, guys, if you can study that on your own time, what does the foundation of the world signify? That word from is going to make it or break it on this doctrine. From the foundation of the world. Notice how it didn't say before. Because who believes that? The Calvinist friend and the Reformed friend, who believes that God, before all things were created, he already chose who he would send to heaven and who he would send to hell. without any of their free will volition into consideration. That's why from, it's very important, I'll give that to you guys next time. Now let's go to chapter 21, verse number 27. The Bible says here, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now notice here in your Bible, the personal possessive form, lambs, apostrophe S. So that book belongs to who? The Lamb of God. And who is the Lamb of God, church? Jesus Christ. So that book belongs to him. So the book of the life of the Lamb, listen now, it seems to be an additional separate book of which anyone who enters into this world via physical birth, whose names are generally written in the first universal book of life, has an opportunity during the church age to receive a second birth whereby their names will be recorded into that book of the Lamb. Whereas the book of life seems to denote everyone's name generally added in the general book. You can read John 1:9 about lighting every man coming into the world. That every man that cometh into the world through physical birth of Adam's seed, by virtue of God's eternal laws and decrees, has their name written in this general book of life. However, at some point between birth and death, their names can be removed from the book of life due to their willful rejection of God, who grants to men a second life through the gospel, whereby this second birth can place their names into the Lamb's book of life. It appears that during the future great white throne judgment, all mankind that has been born into the world of Adam's seed will be judged by name. If their name is not found written in this general book of life, this gift of life given and offered all, they will literally become unknown to God for eternity, relationally speaking, before God and those individuals. Look at Matthew 7:23. Who would like to popcorn that, Brother Joe? Katie, Matthew 7:23, go ahead. Profess. Jesus Christ will tell those resurrected souls, I never knew you. Notice there, never knew you. Why? I want you now to start thinking with me now. That book of life contains their name. That is synonymous with their existence before the knowledge of God. At some point, from birth to death, their name can be removed from the book of life. If that book of life is somehow, some way connected with the knowledge memory of God, God will literally say, I never knew you, because her name has been removed. He said, I never knew you. Concerning the knowledge of God, I will write another article on this in the future, but to simply state the obvious, regardless of whatever systematic theologies and methodologies have been established by men to rationalize the infinite God and attempt to simplify his revelations in their finite mind, God has chosen to limit his knowledge concerning the salvation of souls. The omnipotence of God, or the omniscience, I should say, is explained in Scripture concerning his works, not necessarily the free will response to those works throughout time. Therefore, of those from Adam's seed who have rejected God throughout time, will prior to the great white throne judgment, the Bible is clear when he will declare to them that he never knew them. It is my opinion that this denotes personal relationship through adoption of sons. Hence, they will be blotted from his memory of existence due to their willful rejection of his love. This will be his statement to those resurrected creatures that attempt to argue with him on that day of judgment. Because remember those guys, Jesus said, they're going to say, but didn't we do this, right? Didn't we cast out? Didn't we? It is my opinion that this denotes personal relationship. These souls, however, had their names removed from the book of life and hence do not have their names recorded in the additional Lamb's book either, due to the rejection of God throughout time. And from the time of his first and second advent, they willfully rejected to honor God the Father through the command of the gospel. Katie, who would you like to popcorn next? Acts 17:30-31, the Bible says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. So, to believe in his Son Jesus, for God has ordained him to be the future judge of the dead. Therefore, my conclusion on this topic is this. The book of life denotes a universal general account of all names of humans born into our world, that is, mankind's existence from the seed of Adam, that enter into this life, this world of Adam's generation or race. The book of the Lamb seems to denote a second book, in which those of Adam's seed from the time of Christ to the second advent have an opportunity to become incorporated into the Lamb's book of life by their free will choice to believe in him. The first is automatic record keeping by God. Future removal at some point before one's death is based upon their choice of response to God's revelation to them throughout time. The second, man's choice to respond to the gospel, whereby the grace of God would place them into his Son's book of the gift of everlasting life. So there we have it. These are our notes concerning the life of the Lamb, or the Lamb's, if you will, the book of the life of the Lamb, etc. Does anybody have any questions so far? Anybody have any questions so far? Comments? Questions, comments? Nobody? Okay, so turn your Bible with me. We're going to close on these last couple of scriptures. Let's go now to Revelation chapter number 20. Let me see if it's here. 20, 21. Let's see here. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Amen. It's getting excited. Amen. If you guys are feeling tired, just go next door for a couple minutes and then come back. You guys will be pumped up. All right now. All right. Turn your Bible now to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. The Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works." So now, I know it's a little difficult, guys. If y'all can do your best, we'll end a little early. Look at what he says in verse number 12. Look at carefully now. He said, "And the books were open, colon, and another book was open." Who can tell me, just based off your general understanding, how many books so far do you have? Anybody? You got at least two. I'd say maybe three, but you got at least two. You have books, plural, in the first half of the colon. That's more than one. And then you have another book. That may be three. I'm just saying, but let's just talk about this, which is the book of life. "And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their" what? "Works." So here's what it seems like. After the rapture, the church is taken up to be with Jesus. 7 years of tribulation begin to take place. Antichrist comes up on the scene. All that, mark of the beast, blah, blah, blah. In the middle of the 3.5 years, Jerusalem, the new temple, he's going to put that abominable image there. Jews, y'all better run to the wilderness. Get over there to the mountains. Jesus judges Israel, cleanses them nationally, causing them to be born again. And one day, he returns. He casts out the false prophet, the Antichrist, Satan. He sends them down there to the pit. He establishes his rule and reign for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is released from the bottomless pit for a season. And all the inhabitants on the earth that were allowed entrance into his millennial reign, the Gentile nations, they were repopulating the earth, you know, having babies maybe over there in Mexico or China. I don't know which nations might be there. I'm just saying. And then there's one last rebellion against God. Ironically, it's crazy, but Satan, he's going to do it. He's going to try. So all those who follow him willingly will. And then here you have this, Revelation 20. God the Father is going to burn them all up. He is going to cast Satan into that lake of fire. And here we have the heaven and the earth fleeing because the guys, the glory of God is going to be unveiled. God's glory is so more, it's way more powerful than the sun. It's way more powerful than the various suns in our galaxy, guys. I don't know if you guys ever have a chance to see those creation videos on YouTube, but guys, do you know that there are stars right now, like the sun, that are as big as our galaxy? I mean, guys, this universe is beyond huge. And yet, according to the Bible, the heaven and the earth were going to flee. They're going to be burned up because the glory of God is going to be manifest. So now with me, at the end of the thousand-year reign, when this scene takes place, there are books and there's a book of life. Guys, who is keeping record of these books? Well, God is. And these books over here are written every single work, every single thought, every single secret of every single human being who ever existed. And then there's the book of life. So I think it's safe to say, let's just say this. Again, you already know I'm not being dogmatic. Let's just say there's the book of life right over here. And then there's books that record their works. The Bible says in 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And then, look at verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So now, if you let the scriptures interpret themselves, book of life, book of the living, synonymous with God's memory of all of the inhabitants of his creation when they are born into this world, at some point, from birth to death, their names can be removed. They can be blotted. It is my position, so far from what I've showed you from all these Fridays ago, if they reject God in their heart, if they don't believe in him with their heart, that is, they don't exercise faith, they deny him from beginning to the end, their names will be removed from the book of life. But if they respond to him in faith, their lives will be preserved. And now, for those who have heard the gospel, you can become a born-again Christian, adopted into his family. Your name will be added to a second book called the Lamb's Book of Life, because that book has nothing to do with the seed or the race of men of Adam's generation. It's a separate book that solely belongs to him as it pertains to his office and what he offers: creation, redemption, the promise, and their names can be added to that, which will never be blotted. So again, I'm just showing you that from birth to death, their names can be blotted out of the first one. But in that time, if they respond to God in faith, trusting his son, Jesus Christ, their names will be added to the second book, and God will preserve that name forever. Okay? So then Revelation 21, new heavens, new earth. Eternity kicks in, right? It's going to be glorious. It's going to be awesome, beautiful, new creation, new heavens, new earth, guys. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. It's just going to be perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. But look at all the way down there in verse number 27. Those who are going to be able to enjoy New Jerusalem are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Last chapter, 22, Revelation 22. We're going to close. Revelation 22. This is eternity now, guys. We're talking about new heavens, new earth, New Jerusalem, beautiful, pure creation, righteousness, you know, all that. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, were there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So to answer your question, what am I going to do in eternity, Brother Carlos? Am I just going to be flying around? You are going to be serving him. So let me end you with this note. He wants you to serve him now. He wants to reward you on that judgment seat of Christ. Because you know what it's going to determine in eternity for you to do? Your service to him. If you want to do great things for God in eternity, show him how worthy he is now while you're in this time. If he doesn't mean that much to you right now for you to serve him and to dedicate more time to him, I'm just telling you, in eternity when he delegates your duty? It may not be. It may not be as exciting as what other Christians might get to do. I'm just telling you. You guys gotta consider how worthy he should be for your labor. Amen. So, beautiful. Those that whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, we're going to be able to enjoy this. This is going to be our inheritance, what we're going to inherit from the Lord Jesus Christ, to enjoy living with him and serving him, et cetera, et cetera. Let's come down here in verse number 12. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall what? Be. So he is going to judge the believer and the unbeliever according to their works. Isn't that amazing? You've seen it. Not only are the books recording every single human being's act and their thoughts, and if they don't get saved, it's going to be real bad because they're going to be held accountable. But church, do you know that you as a Christian, your work's being recorded. It's going to be tried through the fire at the judgment seat of Christ. He wants to reward you, friend. So show him how much he means to you by doing your best to start serving him. And let's just close here. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So listen, I know it may not seem like he's coming quickly. Every day you wake up, some of you guys are 20 years old now, 24, 30. It seems like, man, it's been a long time. It seems long in your time. But in God's time, he's almost here. So if he's almost here, as we anticipate his return, in the end of the day, what can we gain from this study of the Book of Life, the name, preservation, all that? What did he say? My reward is with me. I'm going to reward you according to your work. So if we know now the expectation and we know now the commitment, there is commitment required now in serving our Savior. There is commitment in working for our Savior. All I can encourage you to do, friend, is since your name has been added and it will never be blotted, what and how should you respond to him daily in thanksgiving? Should you be more than excited and happy to serve him for what he is offering you and what he is preserving for you? And if he is worthy of that, then how are you going to show him that for the rest of your life? And I just want to leave you with those closing thoughts. Amen. All right. Does anybody else have any questions or comments about tonight's study, what we talked about concerning the Book of Life or the Lamb's Book of Life? Anybody out there? Comments, questions? Nobody? Comments, questions? So you guys understand the Book of Life, Lamb's Book of Life? Okay. What's the question? Nobody has one question. Comment. Comment, question? No? Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Multiple books. Mm-hmm. Yep. It could be the law. It could be the word of God. Like the scriptures is a book that is going to hold them accountable to their works, to look at them and say, this is why you're a sinner and wrong, because you broke the law. You broke this. You knew what God said here. It could be an account of everything. And then here's the Book of Life. The roll call. The roll call, roll call, roll call, roll call. Any other comments, feedback? Nobody? Okay. Well, tomorrow, guys, hope to see you. Please let us know. 9:45 meetup, 10 o'clock door knocking. If you can, please pray for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for tonight's fellowship. We pray, God, that our study, Lord, was profitable. Lord, thank you for teaching us from the Bible concerning the Book of Life. Thank you for teaching us concerning the Lamb's Book of Life and how our names are there and our names are preserved, not because of what we do after salvation, but because of what you promised before salvation. Sister Arlene read it, God, you cannot lie. and you promised eternal life to those who would believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you for not being a God who can lie. Thank you for being a God of truth. Thank you for giving us eternal life after we believe Jesus. Thank you for adding our name to his book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And so, God, what we need help with now is being thankful. We need help with responding to what you did for us and all you offered us and all you gave us. We need help to show you our dedication and appreciation in return by working for your Son, Jesus, by living for your Son, Jesus, by letting Jesus live through us and direct us and command us on how we should live the rest of our life. Father, would you help us all tonight as a family to keep doing that, God? Whatever that might mean in every individual's heart tonight, God, would your Holy Spirit continue to teach them individually of what they need to do more for, how they need to get this thing right in their life, how they should dedicate more time to you here, how they should maybe let go of that a little bit more over there so they can dedicate more time to you. I don't know, God, just whatever that might mean, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would help us to grow in thankfulness, in zeal, for all that we know now to be true, that, God, you're not going to blot our name out, that, God, you're going to preserve our name, and, God, you're going to reward us one day. So help us, God, to be excited, to be joyful, to serve Jesus. So, Father, thank you for these saints, helping to get back home safely. We look forward to what you have in store for us tomorrow, Lord, if you will it. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I love you. Hope you guys have a good rest of your night. If anybody has any questions, comments, we'll fellowship, amen. The Lord bless.